Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Third and 15, Hurts from the end zone, intercepted, taken away by Xavier McKinney, the big offseason acquisition inside the 20.
How does that not get you pumped up? Xavier McKinney has Jalen Hurts' number a little bit. He tends to get some interceptions against Jalen Hurts. Hopefully that can continue this Sunday against the Eagles. Welcome back to the Packet A Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, the epic Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From 9 to 11. Also, the Packers, as you know, are in Philly to take on the Eagles this Sunday afternoon in the NFC wildcard round of the playoffs. After the game goes final, make the switch to the Fan for the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer for all of Sparky's wisdom and knowledge immediately following the game. You're not going to want to miss that. Right now, we have the wonderful Jacob Westendorf, Packers Central, Packet A podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, my friend, how the heck are you doing ahead of this Packers-Eagles epic matchup?
Yeah, it snowed outside, which makes you feel like it's January football at its finest, certainly coming up here. It looks like temperatures in Philly are going to be a little balmy for this time of the year, so I guess we won't get the snow game that maybe you're hoping for. But I'm excited, man. These are two of the, four teams in the NFC, I think, that should get to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, why not start that right off the bat?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. If you would have told me, you know, like, 5-6 weeks ago, again, depending on seeding, that this would have been the NFC championship game, I would have been like, yeah, I could easily see these two teams getting to an NFC championship and playing each other, and we get that style of matchup in the wild card round. And like you said, one of these teams that I think is a potential legitimate contender is going to be eliminated and going home and not having an opportunity to win this thing, which is rather crazy. So this has all the feels of a heavyweight fight. Speaking of feels and vibes, Jacob Westendorf, what are your current, what's your feel, what's your vibe surrounding this Green Bay Packers team, and what you think that they are capable of as we get ready for them going into this playoffs?
Yeah, feelings are the opposite of what they were at this time a year ago, because at this time a year ago, they had beaten Minnesota and Chicago to get into the playoffs. And you came into a game against Dallas where you felt like, yeah, I mean, were they favored? Absolutely not. But did you feel like they had a puncher's chance to win that game? Could you see paths to victory? And based on how they were playing, did you feel like they were playing well enough to win a postseason game? Yes, you did all of those things a year ago. Now, you got kind of a, I know they only lost by 2 against Minnesota, but I think you would agree that that game didn't feel nearly as close as the final score might have indicated, especially through, 3.5 quarters. So
Correct.
There's that, and then you have the dud on Sunday against Chicago where they cared, but they didn't care. They had their guys in, then they didn't, and then they were trying to win, but it also felt like they weren't. Like, they just didn't pick a lane as to what they were doing, and then by extension, they cost themselves one of their best players on offense in the process, and their quarterback's elbow is banged up. So the feelings aren't great. The coaching staff had, in my opinion, maybe its worst game of the season on Sunday afternoon, and I am not somebody who criticizes coaches a bunch because I think there's just so much that goes into that. But, yeah, the feelings, the vibes, the emotions, whatever. And, oh, by the way, they're playing a team that's won 12 of their last 13 games. In the one game that Philly lost, the quarterback left a game with a concussion.
Yeah. This is very, very interesting vibe around this team. I agree with that. Let me follow that up by asking you how much of that actually matters. Like, once the game starts and everyone wants to win that game, it's win or go home. It's this epic matchup. Like, how much of that actually matters going into this game?
Not much, I don't think, because the culture that Matt LaFleur has established has been pretty good. They've usually been pretty good about bouncing back during his tenure. As the coach, especially when, again, if you want to say last week's game didn't matter and maybe the coaching staff and the player, I mean, when Josh Jacobs came out on Wednesday and said he wasn't expecting to get like 30 carries, that was a bit of a red flag for me just to say like, oh, like if he's feeling and thinking that, they've probably said something
yep.
like that. But once the ball is kicked, I mean, they know it's win or go home. These players are dialed in. I will say this from my experience of being around as much of the National Football League as I have, which isn't much, but any team from Kansas City all the way down to the Denver Broncos or whoever you think the worst team in the playoffs is, thinks they can win the Super Bowl. So Green Bay is no exception, and I think that they're right. They have the pieces in place to do it. It's just a matter of those guys doing something they haven't done all season, which is, you know, play a consistent game without making a bunch of mistakes at the end that makes you go, man, if that just didn't happen, then we're talking about a different outcome.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. I know one of the things that you've been looking at, I know our good friend Wendell Ferreira was looking at this the other day as well, but Matt LaFleur really losing some of his aggressiveness in 2024. It's been a really interesting thing. He's always been sort of an aggressive coach. If you always look at the analytics, he's usually been at the top of the league and kind of following, you know, what you should do in certain situations. It's been kind of the exact opposite this year. I'm not exactly sure why he doesn't have that level of confidence or why he's become much more conservative, if you will, in some of his, especially like fourth down play calling, when to go for it, those sort of things. Well, what's been your read on Matt and his decision-making this year and why he's maybe been a bit more conservative?
It's been really strange because his mindset to start the game has been to be aggressive. I think I saw the Packers have received the opening kickoff in 15 out of their 17 games this year. Now, obviously not all of that is a byproduct of them winning the coin toss, but they haven't deferred a coin toss that they've won since the end of September, based on what I read earlier in the week. So that's an aggressive start. We want the ball and we're going to score, so to speak. Okay. Then from there, it's been, well, sometimes they go for it, which has been pretty rare, like the drop by Jaden Reed against Minnesota. That was one example. But more often than not, like the punt return for a touchdown that Chicago had on Sunday, that was a ball that never should have been punted. Like, that's a go for it, especially in a game where you're kind of like, again, playing the middle ground of, I don't know, do we really want to win, do we not? If your plan, as LaFleur said after the game, was to get a lead and then pull guys, then let's go for it all the way. Like, to me, that was an easy decision that was relatively botched. I'm not sure if it's lack of – I know something that Tom Brady said on the broadcast against Minnesota a couple weeks ago was that Green Bay's intermediate passing game wasn't detailed. And Brady, say what you will about him as a broadcaster, but there's nobody better in terms of somebody dissecting a passing game from an offensive standpoint. So if he's saying that, I wonder if maybe that plays into the equation, maybe the lack of confidence in their ability to just – pick plays up. Maybe he trusts his defense to a fault. Maybe he trusts his run game and defense, but they're trying to muck up and muddy up a game to a fault. I'm not really sure what the reason is. LaFleur's never really given a great answer as far as saying, like, just in the moment, sometimes you go for it and sometimes you kick it. But like, to beat, like, the road to Green Bay's pass in the Super Bowl is going to be Philadelphia, then Detroit, and then, you know, wherever else from there. But to beat those two teams, it has to be what he said his first season that was, you know, a bit of a calling card for his tenure. So we thought that was all gas, no break.
I'm ready for it. I need it. I need there to be a level of intensity and aggression. We can go back to some early WWE John Cena. I need ruthless aggression, Jacob, from Matt LaFleur and this Packers team. So that's what I'm looking for this weekend. Again, we're talking with Jacob Westendorf, Packers Central, Packaday podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. Let's go back to week one for a moment. I know it feels like seven lifetimes ago. These two teams are barely the same. They're not the same images of each other from that point in time. But what changes do you want to see this Green Bay team make, or what changes need to be made in order to win this wild card game rather than unfortunately lose that game in week one on a neutral field in Brazil?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is going to be who played versus who didn't in that first matchup. So, and vice versa, right? Jair Alexander drew the primary assignment of A.J. Brown. He's obviously not going to be covering A.J. Brown often, if at all. Actually, not at all this weekend. And then you have two guys that Evan Williams and Edgerrin Cooper have emerged as big-time players on this defense, and they played a combined total of 11 snaps with Evan Williams being a DNP coach's decision during that first game of the season. So those two guys can do some stuff. I certainly think that with Saquon Barkley, you certainly want to have as much speed and athleticism at the linebacker position as you can. So getting Quay Walker back with Edgerrin Cooper. And this is a game, listen to me, Jeff Hafley, if you're listening. I know maybe Edgerrin Cooper isn't in the right position, or maybe he makes a mistake. I know the coaches have kind of not gone out of their way, but they've certainly pumped the brakes on the hype train that surrounds Edgerrin Cooper. You got to kind of just deal with the mistake, because we saw week one, for example, Barkley's first touchdown. I think he was singled up with Isaiah McDuffie, and God bless Isaiah McDuffie. He's a solid player. He's not going to be able to run with Saquon Barkley. There aren't many linebackers who can. The Packers happen to have two that might stand a chance against those guys. That's got to be something. You got to keep your best players on the field. And then when you're in the red zone, you know, that was the big port. It was kind of not the same level of collapse, obviously, but it was very similar to the Seattle game. You start two games from the championship game, obviously. When you start two possessions inside the 20 and you kick two field goals, like, you have to be up 14-0 in this game if Philadelphia gives you plays like that. Since the bye week, Jalen Hurts has only turned the ball over twice. So that's a big thing. You have to be opportunistic with those takeaways. And when you get them, it's cashing them into touchdowns. And then the other thing is, who's going to be – I was watching the wild card game, the Tremont Williams interception against Michael Vick last night. And it's the touchdowns in that game were scored by Tom Crabtree, backup tight end, Brandon Jackson, starter slash backup running back, and then James Jones, who was their third, fourth wide receiver. Who's going to be that guy that maybe we're not talking about in this setting right now that makes a big play like that? Is it one of those guys? I guess if we're talking about them now, we're not talking about them. But who's the player that makes a big play in a spot like this? Because more often than not, it's those big plays, you know, those five or six plays that LaFleur talks about all the time that turn the game. It's Green Bay's got to make those plays, and maybe somebody that you're not expecting. Because Philadelphia knows Green Bay's weak points, so they're going to try and attack those, whoever those are. Whether that, you know, maybe it's Eric Stokes breaking up a pass, maybe it's Carrington Valentine getting an interception, maybe it's a special teams playing Keyshawn Nixon breaking a big return, something to that effect. But it's making those big plays and capitalizing on the mistakes, because Philly doesn't make a lot of them.
Let's follow that game plan. So Ben Sims gets the Tom Crabtree touchdown. Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks gets the Brandon Jackson touchdown. And then Malik Heath doing his James Jones impression with a mossing style catch against Philly. I'll take that same game plan with a win at the end with, we'll say, Carrington Valentine playing the role of Tremont Williams and picking off that pass at the end of the game for a huge Packers win, just to, you know, get them on the right track to head into a game eventually in the Super Bowl that they won that we played earlier in this show. Today. All right, Jacob, give me your expectations for Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love in this game, both coming off of injury.
Yeah, I think both are going to play well. We've seen both guys play well in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts would have been a Super Bowl MVP a couple years ago if Philly had beaten Kansas City in that Super Bowl. Any guy who can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes like that in a game like that, I trust him in a big spot. And Jordan Love has, I think, what is the highest graded. There's something about his Dallas game last year is absolutely incredible. I think that's easy to say on that front. I expect both guys to play well. You know, Love has had an up and down season. Most of the ups have been, later in the year, I guess. At the beginning of the year, it was an issue with turnovers. He hasn't turned the ball over. Has that come at the expense of making big plays as well? I think he's going to have to potentially, you know, do the Brett Favre thing, if you will, where we're putting balls into tighter windows and at the expense of potentially trying to make a bigger play, because the reality in this game for Green Bay is, as awesome as Josh Jacobs is, and he is, and the same is true for Philadelphia, quite honestly, for Saquon Barkley, at some point in these playoff games, and there's always, it's third and 10, and it's drop back pass, and it's read the field, and it's find your receiver. Well, can Hurts do that with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? We've seen that in the past. Can Jordan Love do it? And who's that guy going to be? Last year in the postseason, it was Romeo Doubs. We anticipate he's going to be able to play this week after missing last week with an illness. Is it going to be Jaden Reed, who's had kind of a big year for big plays, but a tough year with, you know, missing some big plays as well? Christian Watson's not going to play. So that's one option that you have potentially off the board. Who's that guy that's going to make a play in a spot like that? But from the quarterbacking standpoint, I mean, I'm not going to do a power ranking of the quarterbacks on the fly, but I think both of these guys end up in the top of my tier list in the NFC of guys that I trust in a spot like this.
We're talking to Jacob Westendorf. He is now going to go through his 32-man quarterback rankings from 1 to 32. I'm just kidding.
Jacob, and everybody just turned the channel.
All right, let's get to the overall keys to this game. I want to start, who's your key player for each team, the one guy that you're going to keep an eye on for both the Eagles and the Packers? And then I also want your overall keys to this game of just kind of, as this game progresses, what you're really going to be watching for.
Yeah, for the Eagles, it's Josh Sweat. He's their leading pass rusher. He's a free agent this offseason. If any team in Northeast Wisconsin might be interested in grabbing a different pass rusher, who knows? But that's a different story for a different day. Putting pressure on these quarterbacks, that's the way you get them into mistakes. You know, Jordan Love last week, he banged his elbow on a play where he was under pressure. He has a tendency, as do most quarterbacks, to put the ball in harm's way when he's under pressure like that. So Sweat is a guy who I think you got to get him blocked up. The Eagles don't have this pass rush like they had when they went to the Super Bowl and they sacked the quarterback of the opposing team like 837 times or something like that. But it is still pretty good. They're able to get push up the middle with Milton Williams and Jalen Carter. But again, on the edge, we're talking about Josh Sweat. So that's the guy I think you get him blocked up. That gives you some chances and some times to find some guys down the field from a receiving option. From Green Bay standpoint, it's those linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker. Quay was playing his best football, according to the coaching staff, and really according to my eyesight as well, from when he went down. And then Edgerrin Cooper, we've talked about him a lot. He posts a picture of the Michael Myers mask every game, and I love that. I think that is the mentality that Green Bay hasn't had at that linebacker position, combined with the skill set he obviously has. But again, you're facing Saquon Barkley, so it's defensive linemen holding on to blocks, and its linebackers are going to be asked to make a lot of plays, and they're going to have to make a lot of those plays against him, both in the run game and the passing game.
All right, and then the last thing, of course, Jacob, is we've got this massive matchup. I know predictions are always difficult. We don't even have the final injury report yet, although it seems like we have a pretty good feel for who's playing, who's not in this game. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your final prediction for this game?
Yeah, I think this is a case of, at the end of the season on Green Bay's tombstone, we're going to be able to put on that good, not great. And Green Bay is a good team. You don't win 11 games by accident. They've done some good things. I think they have a talented roster. If you had told me before the start of last season that Green Bay was going to win 20 games in their first 2 years after Aaron Rodgers was traded and they were going to make the playoffs both times, I'd have said, sign me up. That is just fine by me. This Philadelphia team, to me, is in a different spot as far as where their roster is. This is a experienced team. This is essentially the same group, save for a guy here or there, that played in the Super Bowl against Kansas City a couple years ago. And the reality is, Andy, until I see it, I can't pick the Packers to win a game against a team better than them because they simply haven't done it. So I think Philadelphia is at home. I think you have both quarterbacks a little banged up, but I trust both of those guys to play well. And I think at the end of the day, Philadelphia is just playing better football from start to finish this season. Philadelphia is my pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So if that is the case, I don't think that Green Bay is beating them on Sunday. So I will take the Eagles 27-24.
I think that's a fair prediction, and I think some, you know, a lot of people are kind of feeling the same way kind of going into this game. I have one last follow-up, Jacob, before we kind of get you out of here. I asked this to Perry and Grant on the Packaday podcast on Monday's show, but I want your thoughts on this as well. You don't have to go into super depth if you don't want to, but if the Packers lose this game, is this season a failure?
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to do the whole title town. It was Super Bowl or nothing, but I know you won two more games. You finished with a better record than you did a year ago, but you did finish in the same spot in the NFC. And I know that, like, everybody will be like, well, the NFC was better. Well, Green Bay was supposed to be a lot better, too. Like, my argument against everybody saying, well, the NFC North is historically good. Green Bay was coming into the year. I mean, Andy, you were there in the spring. They were talking about the Super Bowl in May.
Yep.
Like, they were supposed to be this. It was going to be Detroit or Green Bay to win the division. Well, Green Bay didn't even finish within three games of the division champion. They were 1-5 in the division. They were a fingertip away from being 0-6 in the division. And now you follow that up with, yes, you're playing a really good team in the first round of the NFC playoffs, but that's a byproduct of your own failures, in my opinion. So, yes, I think this season would be massively disappointing. Call it a failure if you want to. But if you go 1-done in the playoffs after getting just the same seed you had a year ago, there's some questions Green Bay is going to have to answer. Not anything heavy. Like, Matt LaFleur doesn't need to be fired. Jordan Love doesn't need to be traded. Nothing crazy like that. But are there some tweaks, and this is more an off-season podcast, which we could certainly do, but are there some tweaks to the building of the roster that Green Bay has to focus on? And are there some different approaches they have to take from the coaching staff standpoint? I trust that Green Bay will do that if it gets to that point. But, yeah, if they lose on Sunday, I think it's fair to call this a complete disappointment.
Yeah, we will definitely have those off-season discussions right here on the Packaday Radio Show with you, Jacob Westendorf, as time goes on. I guarantee you that. And yes, I tend to agree, especially if you go what I consider like 0-6 in your big games in the season and don't get a signature win all season long and kind of just take a step back, don't get a playoff win. I do think that you're more trending in that failure territory. That's why it's a very interesting game against a very tough Philadelphia team coming up. Jacob, what do you got coming up this week? And anything else you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, I'm actually getting on an airplane. I'm flying to Philadelphia here this afternoon. So nice. I will be on site for Packers and Eagles. Whatever it is that emerges from that game, that'll be the story. So check that Sunday afternoon, early evening, all that fun stuff. But I'm excited to visit the link in a place that is pretty special to me. So I'm excited to be there.
You going to be in the stands or you're going to be in the press box?
I'll be in the box, yes.
Nice. Very cool. Well, enjoy, my friend. I know that is a very special place for you. I know this is a very special matchup for you, so enjoy the heck out of it. Make sure to follow Jacob on Twitter, at Jacob Westendorf. He's the absolute best. You're going to want to check him out over on Packers Central as well. He does an unbelievable work, and of course, Tuesdays with Jacob Morley on the Packaday podcast. Like I said, Jacob, enjoy the heck out of it. We'll have you back on in the near future, hopefully talking about another Packers matchup. If not, we'll get to those off-season conversations sooner rather than later. But when we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nick Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250. Again, text me those predictions for the game. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.